Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, friends of the Upstate Golf Guys? We appreciate everyone tuning in. If you enjoy what you hear, we release new episodes every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us on all podcast platforms. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Upstate Golf Guys. Hey, I just want to chime in and say one more thing. I hope you guys get a chance to check out the website my wife put together. It's really awesome. It's definitely worth checking out. We have our bios in there. You could find all of our podcasts. And most importantly, where you could get our merch from our awesome Upstate Golf Guys hats with the Uncle Sam logo to quarter zips. We have a lot of different colored golf polos, so you can match the polos up with the hats. Definitely come check us out. And that's at upstategolfguys.com. Thanks again, everyone.
This podcast is brought to you by Golf Week Amateur Tour, where amateurs play like pros, a national tour for all golfers and all skill sets in our 30th anniversary. We are New York Upstate Region, and if you would like more information or to join, go to www.amateurgolftour.net.
Carnoustie. Roger, what was that word again?
Who gives a shit?
That was funny. If you guys all listened to the last episode, we read the Cape Cod Golf Guys reviews on a Cape Cod course, and Roger and I didn't proofread.
Never again. You know what's messed up, too, is like, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and growing up, I used to listen to a lot of radio shows, and there's one that reminded me of the Bill Burr on his podcast. He did one about like some kind of candy, like around Valentine's Day, and it was like the cheesiest read ever. And he's halfway through the read, he goes, "What the hell is this shit?" It was perfect. That's kind of like what I felt like looking at.
Well,
like, what
the hell honestly, after we found out that it was a course, it makes so much more sense because they were comparing it to Cliffs on Scotland, and
right.
You said it, Roger. You said it's probably a golf course, and
yeah.
We all have never heard of it, though. I mean, I've seen plenty of the British Open, Scottish Opens. Like, I don't know.
So on the Pitch Putt Puff, I had a guest. I want to say it was either Bob from Squares or it was my man from Bob from Squares. He told me that he played that course 2 days before I came and recorded this episode.
Wow.
And I just, like, after the fact, I was like, that's what I think made me think it was a course. Like, because I was like, I know
Roger, you're just cooking too much up, man, in the kitchen, and you're too losing. You're just losing. Right. You're burning some cells
your
right there.
Your brain is fucking mush.
But yeah. How you hitting them these days, Raj, the last couple of days? I know you're out every other day.
Let me tell you, man, I haven't taken a day off since Saturday, and it's showing. I'm playing really well, actually. I haven't shot around over 85. And like a week and a half now, so I'm doing real. My putting is on fire, my short game is on point. Like, my talk about the guests we're gonna have on tonight, but my biggest problem is trouble off the tee.
Yes, sir.
I can't consistently hit the driver off the tee. If I do that, I don't see myself not breaking 80 a few times this year the way I'm playing right now. Honestly, it's crazy. Like, striking my irons really well. The putting, like everything except off the tee. But even if I get in trouble off the tee, my recovery shots are nice enough to actually like put me in scoring distance where I'm either worst case scenario, like bogey, not a lot of double bogeys in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited to get our guest on tonight, Marty, just because he's now like basically a friend of ours.
He's the man.
He's, you know, I'm nervous sometimes when I have guests coming on, cause I don't know him. I'm a little skeptical of what we're going to talk about, but Marty makes you comfortable right off the bat. He's a fun dude.
They'll see it as soon as he hops on. Yeah. 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. And the book, we're really gonna focus on his book that he wrote, Trouble Off the Tee.
Yeah, don't give any way.
No spoilers, brother. I already told. Listen, I got some questions without giving spoilers. Mikey,
zip the lip.
Mike, right.
What about the round table? He's like, oh, wasn't this guy based off of this guy? Great idea. Don't take a nap. Yeah,
Marty's like, no. Come on.
Go take a nap at the turn.
So, yeah, we're really excited to get Marty on here. It's going to be a fun episode. I have a couple cool questions. He's shooting to try to make it a TV series on, you know, maybe somebody will pick him up someday. So some of the questions I'm going to ask him are what actors on a perfect Trouble Off the Tee TV series would, you know, his actors be?
Who would your Lincoln be?
See, that's the thing. We were talking like Mike had a good one with just JT, Justin Timberlake,
because he's a good actor and a good golfer.
And he knows, but he's too old already. You need to get somebody in their late teens, early 20s. That's a stud.
You'd have to actually use somebody that kind of looks like Justin. So that way Justin can eventually.
But this is Mike. This story is actually, I know you haven't heard yet. It's basically all within what, maybe 3 years total, about four years at the max.
It's a summer.
He's because he's grad. At the very beginning, he's in high. He graduates, and then it's fast forward, and then he goes to Kentucky, and then he goes to college. But he hasn't graduated yet.
We listened to it for what?
About an hour.
So
45 minutes in an hour.
So you would honestly, who's the kid that played Spider-Man recently?
I can't.
Who's that young kid? Zendaya. He's dating Zendaya.
I see the face. Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
Yeah. Like someone like that is really like that era. Like, okay, who's the next up and coming actor?
You know who I'm interested. So I'm going to go right down the line of
the kind of person like this character, but more of a badass.
You know who I'm more interested? Who he's going to pick is who he's going to have for the three bears, the brown girls.
Yeah.
Who does he want as Lucy? You know, it's going to be interesting to see what Marty says.
There's a couple out there.
So I think that's going to be a fun episode. And we're going to talk golf and talk trouble off the tee.
Yeah, because you need a guy in their young 20s to really play. But you can also look, too, like with acting. Like, remember the TV show Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Football show?
Yeah.
Most of them characters were in their late 20s, early 30s.
They can make them look a lot younger, for sure.
Like Taylor Kitsch was like 30 playing.
You look at all the movies. They're all like.
Yeah.
24-year-olds playing 15-year-olds.
Yeah, Minka Kelly was like 31 playing the 15-year-old.
Right. That's not the norm. So, I mean, a 30-year-old could certainly play Lincoln Ross, you know. But
I'm interested to see what he has to say.
So we're going to go into the Cape Cod course of the week a little earlier because we got Marty coming on shortly, and I want to make sure we don't have Marty waiting.
Before you get into that, though, you didn't have an event this weekend, did you?
Oh, I did. I did. I did the recap. So anybody listening to the last episode, I did run the Golf Week Spotlight, but I don't want to really talk about it much. If you notice, that's why I'm really not. I had an event.
I play so much golf.
Where did I have an event this weekend, Roger?
How'd you putt, buddy?
Oh,
yo, and I coached you up so well. He wanted me to. We played like midweek. I was like, and I was telling him how the putts break and everything. It's my backyard. And I was like, all right, you need a caddy? Like, I'll work your bag for you. He called Adam. Yo, can we have caddies? I was just busting balls. I'm not kidding.
I was dead ass. Well, I was like, can he just at least ride them and read the greens? Because this kid plays freaking Freer Park 37 times a week. You know, so he does know those greens. He's going to have to
get a hold of my little man. He's going to play Freer tomorrow, I think.
What time is he playing?
I have no idea.
We'll talk
like,
about it.
He's like, I'm joining. So I'm joining.
You got a tee time tomorrow.
So listen, Roger.
He hit me up. He's like, Dad, any pointers? You play it there all the time.
Everything breaks towards the river.
I'm like, stay below the hole.
That's all on that course.
That's it. That's all you can really do.
And like, so Brad played Saturday and Sunday. He played a little bit better on Sunday. He's dealing with a little thumb injury, but he started doing it. He said towards the end, he played a good, I think he shot like a 43 on the back nine, but you can't land the greens.
Nope.
You have to run them up to the pin. So once you realize that, the game and the approach is so much different. It's one of those scenarios where you have to play the course and not let the course play you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adam, literally on the sixth hole, the softball field hole, I was playing with three champ guys. Okay. Yep. Adam shot a 76, starting with a bogey and a double, by the way. Bogey, double, and he still shot a 76. So that's a different start.
I think that was a turkey move, though.
Well, yeah.
Him so, having you play with him.
So he knows.
I can right. That's like that's like having a caddy. Yeah, he just skirted his own rules.
No, he didn't listen to me.
I was over here thinking about that. But I mean,
I
golfers
you,
of that caliber really doesn't
make sense. No, he was lights out. So anyways, this guy, Sean, who was
although
really,
Freer couldn't be up.
Oh, yeah. this guy, Sean, that he's a champ flight golfer. I mean, so we were over by the sand trap on six, over by the fence.
Okay.
So what is that? About 80 out, yeah, not eight,
65 to 80
whatever.
Out, depending on where
so
on
he had
track,
a 60. I mean, a beautiful 60, dude, whatever it was, 50, whatever it was, dude, sky high.
Yep.
Sky high. Up. Green is,
where's the pin?
Upwards, back placement.
Okay.
Dude, but that didn't matter.
The back right?
Bounce in the center of the green like a bouncy ball three times and then went to the back of the green. Like
they're firm.
They're a little too firm. And the back nine was a little and I like it though. I love it. I love how they roll. They roll true.
So in order for them to do that, to roll true and be that way, they have to be that firm. That's the
doubt. So you are on point. You have to run it up to the greens. You really do. Unless you could play backspin. Unless you have backspin.
Yes,
but
you can spin.
We can't. I can't. Adam was spinning them up there. I mean, I want you to realize how to do it. And yeah, you're right. You gotta know how to play it. But the greens are, I mean, they're beautiful. There's not a pimple on the greens.
April.
I know.
It's only April.
There's not
May 1st now, but yeah.
They just rolled and rolled. Like literally, Adam was joking. He's like, what is this? Augusta National? And like, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. I don't care what you say. That's a compliment.
And that's the thing. Like, anytime I tell people, like, yo, it's an easy course. It really is. If you play the course the right way, it's a pretty simple course.
Yeah, because you can play your ball from anywhere.
Right. There's not too many spots you're really going to lose. And at this time of year, especially like on seven, you can take a chance. You can hit a seven iron over the trees, set yourself up 100 yards out, 70 yards out, something of that nature, or hit a liner through and hopefully run it up. But if you play the course and not let that course play you this time of year, you can definitely score low. It's just going to get harder as the year works. We still got a long way to go, and they're not going to water those greens anytime soon.
No. He takes pride in those greens, and he's not going to change anything he's doing. That's for sure. And I don't think I don't think he should. It's a great challenge. You could either leave Freer Park thinking you're the best putter in the world, or you could leave there never wanting to golf again.
So I played.
It's the truth, bro.
I played a par four today, a 9-hole par four up in East Greenbush, Pheasant Hollow, and from going through that Freer Park screens to that, I was like, okay, it took me two holes, but I mean, I figured out I had a couple decent round there, shot a 42, but it was okay. Now when I go back to Freer, I'm gonna have to adjust two or three holes.
Yeah, you're gonna smash the ball, Right, well, we got Airway Meadows, which will be Mike's first tournament coming up this Sunday, and I know you played Airways, right?
I played
out there
in a tournament with JR for some. I think it was a Coach for Cancer tournament or something like that a couple years ago.
Nice.
It's fun, man. It's
there's like an airport right in the middle of it, isn't there, or something?
Yeah, you'll be literally teeing up your shot or, you know, lining up a putt, and you'll hear, boom. You look up, and it'll be a skydiver coming down. The parachute opening up.
Okay.
It's, yeah, if I didn't just tell you that and you heard it, you're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome.
Is it the skydive company?
Probably they're out of there from Warrensburg or wherever it is.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's sick. Yeah, man. I'm really excited for that. I'm excited to get Mikey out there for the first event. I'm hoping he gets in some competitive
the Cape trip
nature.
Kind of beat me up, dude.
Yeah. How's your finger feeling?
Good now.
It's clearing out.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's get to the Cape Cod course, which is a course that Mikey and I have played a few times. It's right next door to the condo. The Captain's Golf Course in Brewster.
The Captain's Golf Course in Brewster, Cape Cod. Captain's is two 18-hole bent grass courses, one built in 1985 and the other in 1999. These courses feature tree-lined fairways and slightly sloped greens that are well bunkered. Each hole is named after a sea captain. In 1986, the original single course was rated as the best new public course in the U.S. by Golf Digest. In addition, Golf Digest rated this course as the third among the top 75 public courses in the state for 1990 and 70th under the category of America's top 75 affordable courses in their 1996 list of America's best courses everyone can play. Be sure to go visit the par 72 courses, the Poor Course, and the Starboard Course in Brewster, Massachusetts.
All right, let's see what the Cape Cod Golf guys have to say about the captains.
There you go.
Mikey, we're only going to do one course because there's two. It'll go on forever. So next week, we're going to cut this into two segments. Next week, we'll do this week, we're going to do the Port Course. And next week's segment, we'll do Starboard.
You played this last when you guys went out there this time?
No. But we play, it's like literally.
I'm so confused. There's so many of them.
There's a lot of courses. Probably a mile and a half from the condo, though, as you leave Ocean.
Hop, skip.
It's right there. But yeah, let's see what our boys, the Cape Cod Golf guys, have to say. I always love their reviews. So on the Port Course at the Captain's, for the design, they give a bogey. Some Cape Cod courses are restricted by lack of space, but Captain's is on an impressive swath of land. There's plenty of room to house two full-size spacious courses, the Starboard Course and the Port Course. Whenever a property has two courses, there's always a debate about which course is better. These courses share many similarities, but we like Starboard a bit more than Port, as it felt a bit more cohesive. Port has several holes where the design felt forced and disconnected from the rest of the holes. The most controversial hole on Port is certainly number 8, a par 5, where driver, wedge, wedge is in play. Some of the more experienced players in our group called it the worst hole in America. That was until one of them eagled it and thus deemed it as the best hole in America. Like we said, controversial. On quite a few holes, being long on the green is dead, so choose your approach clubs carefully. Playability, they gave a par. Like Starboard, most of the holes lack of water and deep woods, making this a fairly playable course. However, there are a few holes on Port where you need to clear swampy areas. A few quirky holes will mess with your score. Higher handicappers will want to play number 8 safe. There's no need to be a hero. A couple relatively short par 5 should forgive some of your mistakes and hopefully let you get one or two strokes back.
It doesn't look like there's that many words on there.
It's going on for a while. Damn, it's a long review today. Whew. A nice touch in the presence of family tees, which creates an option 3,000 yards shorter than the tips. A great step to growing the game. There are a few longest distance between holes, but walking or riding are both perfectly viable options. The view is a bogey. As an interior course without much water, there are not a ton of dramatic views. The views that you'll get throughout a quintessential Cape Cod pines and sand.
Good job. That's a big word.
Thanks. Thanks, Rob. Quintessential. The vibe, they gave a par. The two side-by-side courses sharing a clubhouse practice green. I can't say green, though.
A green.
And starting areas creates an energy with twice the normal amount of people milling around. There are a number of nautical features located throughout the course, like boat cleats as a tee markers, wooden mooring boarding, some fairways, and each hole named after actual real-life captains, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
While this could get cheesy, we think that they pull it off nicely, subtly, reminding you of a rich nautical tradition that exists here in Cape Cod. In the condition, they gave a par. Solid condition, tee to green. Firm, fast fairways can give you a few extra yards with some nice run out. The greens were the highlight for us. While there wasn't a ton of break, they tended to run really true. And this is Mikey's favorite, the 19th hole where you get your eats, is a birdie. They got a big old restaurant, a big place. It's nice. I've had a burger there. My parents go for burgers sometimes. They don't even golf. Grab and go window to get a sandwich or a hot dog at the turn. But they just gave it a birdie. Nice grab and go window to get a sandwich, hot dog at the turn. Full restaurant with large outside patio.
I 100% agree. But overall, their score, I mean, I think is above par, which compared to Highland Lynx last week was well under par. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
I love this course. I really do.
I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah. Shout out to Captains over there and Brewster.
I mean, one time we did play, it was COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember that? Yeah. The guy didn't want to touch your money. Money no good here. Cards only.
Yeah, it was. Me and my mother were talking about that the other day, how crazy the world was 3 years
ago.
Oh,
my God, dude.
Remember sitting in golf carts with, like, a divider in between?
Yeah. Well, no, cash was no good, legitimately. Yeah. Cash. Yeah. It was. They didn't want to touch your cash.
Grocery stores.
And then the stupid pool noodles. Do you know how much bacteria those pool noodles probably held that was in the holes?
Not only did it cushion the hole, how many scores did it cushion?
One thing I love about Captains over there is they have the 218. So you could literally call at noon if you're sitting at the beach and if you're deciding you want to play a quick nine. They'll get you out there without tee times a few days ahead of time.
What's your guys' favorite feature of the course?
My favorite feature? I just think the running out. I think the fairways are great. They run. They bounce. One thing I know about it, and they did say that you'll get some run on your ball. Like, if you hit a good drive, it hits the fairways like a bouncy ball like you see on TV, you know? Just the balls run. Kind of like for your park, really firm. That's firm, and, thinking, firm yeah. and fast.
Yep.
It's really nice to see instead of your ball just, like, plugging. So one thing I do want to mention about the Captains, which I knew about from, you know, years ago, because my dad was talking to a neighbor over there in Ocean Edge because he's a member. It's so much cheaper than Ocean Edge as a member. I mean, like when you say it's just night and day. So Ocean Edge is like $35,000-$40,000 membership fee and then $1,200 a month. The Captains. The Captains is $1,300 a year, not $1,300 a month like Ocean Edge. $1,200 a month, $1,380 a year for an adult Brewster resident. That's like, and they're open all year long, Roger.
So what's the difference between early morning, twilight? Like, so that's a big factor though, too.
Well, yeah. Well, early, I didn't even see that. So if you do the twilight, it's only $1,050. So I guess early probably you get any tee time.
No, twilight.
Twilight would be.
Twilight is $570,
right,
dude.
So that's the evening.
That's going out getting your nine holes after work.
Right. Every day. That's actually not a bad deal. How about this one? How about for your kid for the summertime? Brewster Junior, that's 12 key. To 18 years old, $204 for a season.
The smart thing about this course doing that is not only are they getting more young kids on the course, but they're also, when those kids are 20, 25, they're going back to that course because absolutely. Of why they were taken yep. care of there.
Yep. So, and then yep. even your college kids from 19 to 25 collegiate charter, $650.
Ocean's Edge is just way too much.
So
dude.
For a non-resident.
That's a non-resident, actually. Yeah,
$450 for a resident.
Okay, $450. So there's a lot to see. There's a lot of options here. I'm missing that. Okay.
That's pretty dope.
Non-resident Brewster, non-resident.
So they got to do something for you. So say, like, you feel like going to play a twilight round, but you're an early season pass. Like, they're not going to go make you pay full price, right, are they?
Or I don't know. I don't know.
And you said they're open all year,
They're
right?
open all year long.
Which is also a bonus too, because Ocean's Edge ain't.
Nope, and they don't get a lot of snow out there. If they get snow, it melts really quick. So I mean, you could certainly play in January and February,
salt air.
Mild. I mean, if you want to go out with your heated vest. What's
it like out there? You go out there in the winter at all?
Yeah, it's not bad. It's dry. It's, you know, I don't know. It's the salt air. It keeps the snow away. Something about it. Huh. Yeah, but it's awesome. But I just had Marty texting me saying I'm ready when you are. So I am going to go to a commercial break, and we will be back shortly with Marty from Trouble Off the Tee.
I don't think the heavy stuff has started yet. I think we're all right. We'll be right back.
What's up, brother?
Boys, I'm coming off a smooth 97 at Pro-Am I played on Monday, and I need to get some good vibes going today. So let's commence with the good vibes.
You're going to get some good vibes with us. Listen, I was almost with you the other day at our Golf Week Am Tour. I shot a 95 at Freer Park, and it was ugly, brother. It was certainly ugly. That's why you texted me. You said, how'd you shoot? I'm like, you would have heard from me. You would have heard from me if I shot well, I promise. And it was a tough one.
Marty, what was your troubles today?
So I was nervous to begin with. Let's just lay it out there.
I threw the alley-oop, man. The troubles that were off the tee.
No, it wasn't actually that, man. It wasn't that. So I'll summarize it, but I was nervous when I got there. I'm looking around the range. There's all these guys that are just sticks, just flushing it, and I'm just not feeling it. But we get out there. It was a shotgun start. First hole, par three, 174. And two of the guys missed the green. Then the pro I'm with, Chase Wilson, great player too, played on the Canadian Tour, you know, hell of a teacher too. He flags it, and then it's my turn. And I am like, I'm shaking like a twig in the leaf here. And I miraculously hit one, you know, to 15 feet, two putt, make a par, stay the nerves. Second hole, good tee shot. Got unlucky with a little tree branch, couldn't save par, made a bogey. Third hole, this is where it gets fun. Roast a drive, second longest in the group. I'm feeling good. Wind is howling. Get up to the ball, and I got 135 in. And there's some water up there, but the wind is just, it's screaming. And my pro says to me, Marty, this is probably a two-club wind. You know, one and a half, two-club wind. And we agree on my 8-iron, which I get that thing about, you know, 155, 160 if I really flush it. And I smoked it. And then at that very moment, and this is the only one way to describe it, God took a deep breath and blew that ball right into the water. And the rest of the round, I was just trying to kill it. And I never recovered from there. So hence why I'm doing a podcast and not playing for living.
That is very true. That is very true. Yeah. Well, we're going to focus on your book today, brother. Trouble Off the Tee. We were talking earlier. It's really a good one. I listened to it twice. Absolutely enjoyed it. Roger listened to it.
That's awesome. I made $3 off of that then.
Hell yeah. Listen, we're making like 13 cents on this podcast. All right, brother. So it all adds up, man.
We're cooking with gas, man. 401k money here.
I absolutely enjoyed the book in many, many ways. It is a book of golf, drugs, sex, drama, the whole nine. Keeps you at the edge of your seat. I literally, the only time I could listen to it, Marty, was in my car because I can't listen to it at work like Roger. And then I have two young kids, and let's talk about the reason why I can't listen to it around kids.
Every nice known to man is in this book.
Yes. I love the detail. I really do. I mean, it was, your writing is on point. Your simile and metaphors had me laughing with like the golf comparisons. I forgot to add in gambling. It's a book of gambling. That's in there too. And I mean, I loved all the gambling lingo. I grew up, my uncle was a big horse guy, and just hearing Lincoln Ross's troubles, not only off the tee, but his troubles at the racetrack and with the ladies is just an awesome book. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys. And I'll tell you, the feedback has been nothing but positive. You know, everyone tells me they were, surprised by it at first, and then just appreciate the writing style. And it's been very encouraging, to the point that I've already started writing part two. A little sneak peek for you. It's called Trouble 2, the Queen of Hearts. So if that gives you a little insight as to where it's going.
I think I know who the Queen of Hearts is, but Mikey, ruin it. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. We're going to do this whole podcast with no spoilers, with no spoilers. We just want everybody that listens to this and has not heard Trouble Off the Tee to go on and buy it and listen. It is only an audiobook. We should mention that.
You know, that's about to change.
It is.
That, that is about to change. Yeah, I think we're going to do, I'm going to do a hardback. I think that's coming soon. It'll be a sort of a limited edition, and I'll probably pair it, RG, with that hat that you're wearing right there called the Lincoln Ross. So it'll be just in time for Father's Day. So for all those degenerate fathers out there, look out for
it. I will be purchasing that book from you, brother, and putting it on the show.
I'm getting it.
He's a collector, and Mikey will be getting it. And listen, I got to go back to the Lincoln Ross hat. I got yelled at as soon as RGB walked in.
I'm glad you brought it up, but not me.
He goes, "You're not even wearing the hat Marty got you." I'm like, "Oh my god, you're right. I am an idiot."
Yo, let me be honest and tell you, I left the house and I was kind of in a hurry because I wanted to get over here, and I forgot the hat. I went back to the house to go grab it. I was like, oh, man, I can't go on there. Marty, you've been supporting us from the jump, man. We appreciate it. Been. So I definitely had to run back and grab it.
Absolutely,
man. I appreciate you guys, too.
And I apologize. I do wear it out and about everywhere. Other than my, you know, I do wear my upstate gear a little too much. My people might be getting sick of the Uncle Sam.
I need some of that. I need some of that to flex Midwest.
100%. I got you. I should have sent you a long time ago.
All right.
Good, because I'm gonna put something in that package.
Roger doesn't want to pay shipping and handling, he'll put it in there.
Save a buck.
So what are you gonna send him? The surprise? Rag. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Awesome, man. Yeah, we'll send you a nice little goodie bag. I always send anybody. You know what it was? I was waiting for you to come on the podcast, honestly, because I always send it as like a thank you gift for coming on the podcast.
Oh, that's a nice touch. I appreciate.
I usually do send everybody a little something. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on and chopping it up with us, brother, as always. So tell me about, you are going to go with a hardback book. I love it.
You know what? I think the spirit.
What made you decide? Because I know it was always, you were pretty strict with the audio.
Yeah. And I still am. And I do think the spirit of the book plays well on audio. I was fortunate enough to get a great narrator, Jake Adams from the Country Club Adjacent. He did a hell of a job for me, and I really appreciate that. And I do think that, you know, people's times are limited now. You know, the time to sit down and read a book, gosh, you know, if you have kids, if you have a job, but everybody drives to work. So I really do think the spirit still is in the audio, and I do think that is the future of it. But it felt like I was missing something a little bit in that, you know, it's not a real book until you can hold it in your hands. And I think that's an important component, because there still are old school people. And, you know, if you look behind me, I've got books behind her. I still like to read. I still make the time. It's not as much time. But I do think it's special, special piece of the puzzle. And I think if people, gravitate too close to one audio or paper, they're missing out on a whole nother market. And, you know, me, it's all about getting this story out there, which has been truly the most challenging thing about this book. It wasn't writing it. That was fun. It was it's getting it out there.
For sure, man. For sure. Yeah. I mean, some people just like a shelf piece too. They like the book. If they heard the audiobook and really liked it, they'll go out and buy the book just to have it on the shelf. You know, a lot of collectors that just like books. And I think you do well with that. I know Mike's a collector. So
yeah. How long did it take you to write it from start to finish? Until it was
three years.
Nice. Yeah.
And it was done at between like 4 and 6 in the morning, you know, most days. That was the time. You know, I had a little one who just came to the world, and there wasn't a whole lot of time to sit and write after work. Or, you know, when that kid's crying, he doesn't care. You know, if he's hungry, he doesn't care that daddy's chasing the dream. You know,
Yeah, man, I got two little ones myself. So what inspired you to write a book about a character like Lincoln Ross?
That's kind of easy. And RG, I know you and I talked about this quite a bit before, but I'm a criminal defense attorney by trade. I've been doing that for 17 years. And, you know, the stuff you see on TV, like the nasty stuff, drugs, murders, DUIs, sometimes sex cases. You know, they're not pleasant, but you know, that's what I do. So I took this character and I kind of molded him from a lot of the bad decisions that I've seen people make in life, that I've had to help them out of over the years. And it became kind of easy once I realized that how much I love golf. And it was like, gosh, you know, this is great. You know, this is a real person that, you know, his skill level, you know, you're not going to see that type of skill at every club, but everyone knows a guy at the club at everyone's course that's the regular fuck up, that, you know, whose wife is going to have to pick him up or he's going to get kicked out one day. You know, that's the spirit of Lincoln Ross, this lovable guy who is kind of an anti-hero. You know, you want to root for him, but God, sometimes does he make it hard for you to root for him.
Yeah, I mean, I joked with you a few times. I love him. I love the guy. I think he's the man. There's a lot of things I love about him, but he definitely can't get out of his own way. He's so confident in himself.
He's got a swagger.
But it's more the confidence. I think it's just really the word I'm looking for. Is with everything and his shit. He talks out on the golf course. I just think he's the man. But he's certainly a fuck up. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Can't get out of his own way, like you just said. So
it's not on the course where he can't get out of his own way because he's got the skill. Right.
No, I know. And I just thought what I was saying is I love the shit talking, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, it's great. He's a cool dude. I would hang out with Lincoln Ross. I would definitely hang out with Lincoln Ross and not kind of push him away. He would be a dude I followed around in, you know, high school and college. Definitely.
He'd be a good wingman for you. Yeah, that's for sure.
There you go. But I'm not saying he's a role model by any means. So any children out there, children should not be listening to the book anyways. But if they do, don't take after Lincoln Ross.
You know, when I'll throw a name out at you guys, and I'm sure you're going to remember it. But he was kind of a an inspiration. Vinny Chase. Does that name ring a bell to anybody?
Entourage. Yeah, Entourage, baby.
Entourage. Yes.
Yeah.
That okay. Sort of. Yeah. He's not a role model, you know, but he plays one on TV.
Right. It's 100% right. I didn't even think about that. All right. I have to run this down. Where your dream and your goal is to eventually make this a TV series, correct?
Absolutely. 100%. I think there's so much growth for Lincoln Ross. There's so many things that he can get into and the other characters that we haven't talked about. There's some ladies in this story that are compelling characters that have demons of their own that I think can appeal to a lot of people.
100%. I want to do a little something something fun here, a little rapid fire. Let's see if you're ready for it.
Marty, do you want to make this a movie?
Hold on, not quite ready.
So I think it's taking a set.
Now I'm ready. You know, guys, it's Kentucky Derby season, so I'm enjoying a Woodford Manhattan. You know,
Roger?
Do you want to make this a series or more of a movie?
What, buddy? I won't be too specific. You know, if someone wants to make it a movie, they can make it a movie. If someone wants to make it a series,
the thing ideally, is
series.
Serious, because there's a lot of spinoffs you could do.
Yeah, with it could go on forever. Okay. It really could. I just there's not a lot of golf. There's more golf documentary out there than golf. You know, stories.
There's no stories. There's no golf stories. There's no Friday Night Lights of golf type stories.
Right.
Have you had any thoughts?
RG, you hit the nail right on there.
Had any thoughts on who's going to play Lincoln Ross?
Well, here, this is my rapid question. Mikey, I had this. This is my rapid question. We're going to Lincoln Ross.
There
is
you
gonna
go.
Be the last
I stole
question.
It.
You stole. He did steal it. So let's go. So in a let's be real. You're not going to get everybody that, you know, people come and they try out for the parts and everything. But in a perfect world and in a perfect trouble off the tee series, let's go down a quick list of the top characters. Well, we're not going to start with Lincoln Ross left. Who's all playing Shara?
Lincoln Ross.
Who's playing Shara? Let's start there with Shara. The goody-goody. Let's start
man.
See, I'm putting you to the test before Lincoln Ross.
Well, that's a tough one. That's one I've never even thought about. Who's playing her?
All right, we'll rotate back. She's a goody-good girl trying to keep Lincoln on the straight road. There's a few out there.
That is a good. That is a tough one, right?
I had a feeling this was coming, and I never thought.
I told you be ready, brother. I told you be ready. All right, we'll go back. All right, let's go to the Three Bears. Let's go to the Three Bears. They're from Brown University. That's where they get the name. How about we'll start with Paige? What do you think about a Paige?
Okay.
You have any?
You gave me the biggest softball. The biggest softball, Paige Spiranek.
Okay. There you go.
I love it. It just makes sense. She fits the description of Paige. Yep. She is Paige.
She is Paige. Okay. Did you kind of with the name, maybe just like that, did you visualize her as a character before you put the name Paige to this character? And like, maybe. You know, maybe. Okay. Maybe. Okay. All right. How about a Haley?
Haley. All right. So interesting who Haley was based off of. So when I started writing this, and I probably won't get too specific, but I had found I was just following every golf account I could come across. And there was a golfer from Ohio University, which is close to where I live in Columbus, Ohio, who is this left-handed golfer who was just a stick, and she was an amazing athlete. And I just saw stuff on Instagram of her posts from when she was playing at OU. And I know she's close to you guys a little bit now, because I'm pretty sure she works as a reporter for covering the Islanders.
Oh, okay.
So that's who she was kind of based on, who would play her? That's a tougher one, because I'm looking for Haley is like your girl next door type person. Mm-hmm. That's the one I'm looking for to kind of surprise you, because she has demons of her own that you don't necessarily expect from the girl next door. So that one, I'll tell you who she was based on. Haley O. If you find her on Instagram, if you guys know her, if you see her in an Islanders game, you can tell her she was the inspiration of a character.
Love it. Love it. All right, man. All right. Well, how about the Queen of Hearts, Lucy?
Lucy. So there's a couple different ways I go with that. There's an actress, Kelly Rohrbach. You guys know who that is?
I've heard of her. What's she in? Bring her up, Raj, will you?
Bring her up. Yeah, if you bring up her Wikipedia, it's pretty interesting, because it fits, because she can play. Not only is she a 10, but she's a 10 on the course as well. You know, so she played golf at Georgetown before she got into acting and modeling. Oh, wow. So she is an absolute smoke show, and she can play. She can hit it.
All right. Well, I think that's our Lucy right there. I see it all over her face, the Queen of Hearts. Okay. All right. So now let's go to a couple of the guys in the book. I love this character. I don't know, something about him. Who do you think would play a good Trip?
All right. So I thought about that. And this is where, God, I hope I don't get canceled for saying this. But so my narrator, Jake Adams from Country Club Adjacent, Back Off Challenges. Jake is Jewish, and Jake loves to embrace all the Jewish stereotypes. So I think that plays perfect with Trip. I think Jake would be an amazing Trip Martin character. And, you know, you guys will notice I'm kind of sticking with a sort of a social media theme to my characters, because look where we're living right now. We live on social media. You know, these people that we see on YouTube, on Instagram, you know, I think they're capable of a lot more. And I feel like if Trouble Off the Tee became, you know, the Instagram series, I think there's people out there that are super talented at this game and super good at creating content that I think it fits. I think it's an untapped market. There's so many great creators out there that that aren't getting utilized to the full extent.
I agree 100%. I agree. All right. Now, Mikey.
There needs to be a spot in there for you guys too.
All right. Now you can answer.
I just want to be a caddy chilling in the back.
Listen, you learn about a lot about that too in the book, about caddying and the money they make and the opportunity. I mean, sounds like a fun, summer gig for college kids, caddying for sure. Not to get off the subject, but all right. So we got to go now with what Mike asked. Who is your Lincoln Ross? We couldn't figure this one out. It's a tough one, but you got to have somebody.
So I think it's important for the authenticity of the story to have someone who can actually swing it and hit it and can play the part and isn't faking it out there. And, you know, I Google
I would do it.
Actors
I would do
who
it.
Can play. You got it? You got it, RG? All right. You guys know, Grant Horvath, Garrett Clark, the former, the good crew. Those guys are young. They're good looking and they can play. And they're good on camera. I have no doubt that one of those guys could do it. Now, if I'm, picking my dream player, okay, how about Gosling? Yeah. Yeah, he fits the bill. I don't know how well he can play, but he'd be fun to have in there as well.
He's the good looking. Yeah, he's the stud. He's
my
the
pick
stud.
Would have been Justin Timberlake.
So that's true. Man, JT, how did I forget about that one?
JT fits everything. You know why you don't fit? He's freaking 43 years old now. It'd be tough having him. He's probably it's tough having him play a 20, 21 year old.
Yeah.
Makeup.
Yeah, but with the social
media. There were a bunch of U.S. Open qualifiers yesterday. What's that, RG?
I said with the social media thing, though, keeping that theme, the good guys are.
I think they're perfect. Grant Horvath would be a perfect pick. I mean, he's got that smile.
I think so, too.
I could definitely see him blowing lines off Shara's ass.
The toughest one. I've been thinking about her the whole time, and I really
I figured it out. I figured it out, Shara.
All right. Okay.
Who's May the goody Brennan. Good girl?
I was thinking May or Carol Priscilla.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She's solid, too.
Yeah.
She's solid, too. They kind of fit that description, of a bit of a girl next door, but an absolute smoke show, too.
They got that wild side. Yeah.
So I think anybody that's listening to this and that just heard my podcast that has not heard Trouble Off the Tee yet is going to jump and go buy it and listen to it now. Because, I mean, how can you not after what we just described with the characters? I mean,
And the great thing, if you're a Spotify subscriber, it's free.
Right. Okay.
Just open it up, type Trouble Off the Tee into your Spotify search bar, and there it is. And you just made me $1.45, baby.
Let's go. Make me rich. You might be able to retire from law, being a lawyer soon enough, buddy. Soon enough.
Oh, man. Your lips, God's ears.
But what do you have coming up for any golf events? I know you're a big golfer too. What do you have coming up?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. First and foremost is my son, my two boys, Will and Lincoln. Their tournaments come first to me. Will's 10, Lincoln's 8, and Will is a bomber. He can really roast it off the tee, but Lincoln's got that iron game down pat. But I've got a couple member guests coming up this summer. That'll be super fun. I'm flexing my trophy right behind me from the New Albany Country Club Kessler Invitational that my buddy Dan and I won a few years ago. That's solid. That's still the number one trophy piece that I have in life. I didn't play competitive golf at all my life. And I didn't start playing golf till I was 26. And then to win that was the thing. So I need to run it back this year.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Yeah, I know the feeling.
You know what, guys? Hey, where do you guys think you fit? What characters would you guys play? Let me put it on you.
Oof. I would just be one of his wingmen. Who is the guy that went to the track with him, the other degenerate gambler early on that
well, that was Tripp. Tripp definitely went with him.
No, there was another kid. There was another friend earlier than Tripp. I think it was before Tripp, wasn't it? Or no, he went with a female once. Who was he with when he? I don't want to give too much away. That's the thing. I don't want to give a story. He went to the track a bunch of times.
No, but, okay. So this is good because there's cameo pieces in here. You know, there's there's the guy that had the tip.
I like him. Yeah. How about I like the farmer, but the guy who is that who you're talking about? The cheater.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about a dicey character. I don't want to give too much away. I'm a nervous wreck. I have a lot to ask, but without giving sections of the book away, because everybody has to get in and just listen to it themselves.
Yeah. Spotify. Sure.
Yeah, get I'd to it. Like,
that's I'd right, like, baby. Spotify.
I'd be following right along what Lincoln was doing.
Or I would be, I would like to be? You know, if you were going to put me in, I would like to be the scene where he played the Mississippi State Rebel, or was it the Mississippi Rebel, and then the Duke
Blue Devil.
And then they were talking shit. Like, I would be a good, golfers there. Yeah, put me in that spot to be a shit talker. Yeah. I won't be the Aussie guy because I can't do an Australian accent.
You got to find a role, though, where you can come back for the sequel. That's the key part.
There was one character that I wrote in that I had in mind, one of the Barstool guys.
Yep,
the doorman at the bar. Early on, the doorman who wouldn't let one of the girls into the bar. I pictured one of the foreplay guys playing that role. So just keep the whole social media theme. Yeah. But there's a lot of little spots where we can sneak people in.
You might have something there, Marty. You really might, because you could really have a in budget cast that everybody loves golf. Like, if you got the good guys, if you got some of the guys from Barstool
Productions,
club, it's other country club adjacent guys who jump on there.
You might have something there. You really might, and there's almost more YouTube golf watchers in the world than
he wants to wrap this up, so we can start sending some emails.
No, we're here to help you out. I'll give you ideas. It's all you're the boss here, Marty.
I appreciate that. You know how many unanswered DMs I have out there about this?
I'm sure. But I love that idea. I really truthfully do. Sticking with the social, because social media is part of our life. Unfortunately, you know what? It's kind of unfortunate in a way, like, because it does take up so much of our lifestyle. But it's
like, without it, we wouldn't be connected with you right now.
100%. No, 100%.
We would have never known each other.
Love it. It's got its pluses and its negatives for sure.
At least we got to grow up without it.
Yeah.
And see what's I'm really, really happy that you came on and spent some time with us.
Marty, one question with the second book you're working on. Do you feel like it's a little bit easier second time around with the process of like coming up with like the storyline and where the character, you already have like an idea where the character's going. You find it easier second time around?
Yes and no, RG, because I'll tell you yes, because now I've done it once. Now I have a process. And I'll say no, because I have very high expectations for myself and for what part two would be. And I don't want anyone to think that the sequel is, it's just another sequel. So I'm very much committed to ensuring that it carries the story. It grips the person the same way Lincoln's original Trials and Tribulations did and continue to do so. So yes, it's easier and then I've done it. Two, harder, because now I want it to be even better. I don't want this to be, what Godfather was the shitty one? Was it the third one? I don't want a Caddyshack 2.
Right.
No,
100%.
No, this is not going to be that. You know, this is going to keep going. This is going to be like Entourage season 2, 3, 4. They just kept running back, and it kept keeping us interested.
Now that you say that with the Entourage thing, like after listening to it, now like I totally see like the correlation of what you were. Like even more of what you're trying to do with
it. And inspired you a little bit, for sure. So what I got to ask you, is writer's block a real thing? Did you ever suffer writer's block? Because I always hear that with writers.
Here's a trick that I didn't invent to ensure that doesn't happen. When you're writing and you feel like you're about to time out for the day, you stop writing when you know exactly what is going to happen next. That way, when you sit down to start back up writing, you can just dive in. Mm-hmm. And then you've got some rest, you've got some fresh ideas, and it just goes. And that wasn't me. That was Ernest Hemingway. And that's my writer. That's my guy.
What a guy to take after. So I have to ask you a trivial question here. Mm-hmm. How old are your kids?
10 and 8.
Do you know where this is going?
Yeah, I have a feeling, but keep going.
How old is the 10-year-old got to be until you let him listen to the book that daddy wrote?
18.
Is it, I don't let him go to 18.
No, but it's a different world now, so it's probably
16, no, probably.
I'm not going to charge you. I'm not going to 16 is a good. I agree. That's what
it,
I would
it
say.
It all depends on the 16-year-old, too, because right, I've seen some immature 16-year-olds that.
I mean, is he going to be watching rated R movies with you and hanging out at fish? So, and then you say, listen, daddy wrote a movie or wrote a book, and it's and by then it might be a freaking awesome like a series. Who knows? It might blow up. Hey. Hopefully it does. That'd be amazing, but there's definitely
the next James Bond of golf.
Right. It was just a funny call. I was just thinking, I'm like, here's this, you know, this, I got to hide from Mike. And how is he writing this book and keeping this book, you know, these away from the kids? But
fortunately, they're still on like Goosebumps and those books.
Yeah, of course. But no, it's
what would be funny is if one of their teachers ends up listening to it or reading it, and they put two and two together and realize, holy shit, Will's dad wrote
parent
this.
Teacher conference. Parent teacher conference.
That's awesome.
Can you sign this book for me?
All right, Marty. Well, listen, Marty. Everybody, I think we went over it in the episode, but I know, searching on Spotify, but let everybody know where they can find you, all your social medias, the whole nine.
Plug away.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So you can start with our Instagram page, Trouble Off the Tee, our website, troubleoffthetee.com. You can click on the book tab. That'll take you right to all the links. Like I said, if you're a Spotify subscriber, it is free for Spotify subscribers. So you can just pull that up anytime you want and listen. Also available on BarnesandNoble.com, Google Play, Audiobooks.com. I'm forgetting one. Chirp.com. Audible is like 3 to 6 months behind on uploading. So eventually it's going to be on Audible. But if you want to listen, you know, there's ways to do it. And hell, if you go on and buy a Lincoln Ross hat, you know, I'll see it and I'll send you a free code to listen to it on Spotify.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. Love that, man. Love that. Well, Marty, again, we really appreciate you taking the time for coming on. I know your time is valuable. Not only are you an awesome author, you're a lawyer and you got two kids. Time is valuable, that's for sure. But cheers
to
that,
ponies.
Brother. Cheers to that. And good luck.
Right. Hey, it's Derby.
Good luck in Derby, brother.
Do you guys have your picks yet for the Derby?
I just saw I have a newsstand and I just saw the racing form today. I just saw the field. So I'll take a look over it tomorrow. Maybe, you know, have my dad throw in a few. That's my way out of it is I let my dad throw a few. And if he wins, then he gives me money. That's the way I'm not gambling. That way I could watch and just still root for it. And not, you know, say I'm not gambling. I still love the horses, but I haven't picked. But I wish you the best. I wish you the best of luck in the race and go win some money. And we'll definitely, now that I consider you a friend, Marty, that's what I was telling. There's a couple guys that I have on the podcast that I kind of don't ever talk to again. You're somebody that you're cool as hell. And I really look forward to growing our relationship and growing the game of golf together and spreading the word about your book.
We'll have to have you back when the second book comes out.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you're coming out. Hell yeah.
You're a regular. We already told Marty we're going to do a regular round table thing.
You got something coming up on this kind of – are you still going – I seen you pop up on the network's group chat there. You got something going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a podcast of my own coming out soon.
Nice.
And I'm pretty excited about it. I'll tease it a little bit. It's going to be called Needful Things with an eye down the fairway.
Yeah. Okay. With your mind, I am really looking forward to listening to that podcast because I think you could come up with some awesome, awesome content. I'm looking forward to that, brother. Love it.
Yeah, coming out. The first one's going to come out in about 2 weeks, so keep an eye out. I appreciate you guys very much for getting it out there. You know, and the hardest thing about this whole process wasn't writing the book. It's getting it to, you know, guys like you guys that appreciate it, that it's written for. It truly is written for you guys and your listeners, you know, very like-minded people that enjoy the game of golf, but don't necessarily, you know, you don't feel satisfied with what's out there right now. Because if you type in golf into Netflix, okay, you get Full Swing, which is cool. But after that, you know, you get jack shit. You get a documentary about little kids golf.
Yeah. I know. That's why so I said
maybe,
it earlier. There's nothing out there. You got something. You got something, brother. You got something. So let's keep pushing along, plugging along, and get your name out there, get your book out there, and we'll see you in Hollywood soon enough.
Sounds good, brothers. Take care.
Absolutely, bye. Marty. All right, bye. He is a one cool cat, isn't he, Mikey?
Marty.
I know. I really enjoy chatting with Marty. Really appreciate him coming on. But I am really looking forward to week three of the Golf Week Am Tour, which is out at Arroway Meadows. Mikey's first one?
Yeah. First tournament for me. What's your third for you?
Third for me. You have a goal? What's your expectation? You're gonna shoot in the low 90s, high 80s? What are we gonna do?
Just quality shots. That's all I'm looking to do.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, make sure everybody stays tuned for the Golf Week Spotlight, which will be up on the next segment.
518 to the Cape.
Welcome back after a short break. We are here now with the Golf Week Spotlight, sponsored by the Golf Week Amateur Tour, where amateurs play like pros. This week, we had a really sloppy, wet, cold, miserable round here in upstate New York over at Arroway Meadows, just north of Albany. I have to say, I almost quit after nine. I'm not a quitter, though. I fought through. I ended up taking a skin, so I'm happy. But I want to run down the winners. I want to run down the winners for this week because, man, they fought through. And out of our champ flight this week, we had a playoff hole. The winner was Kevin Dumasic. He shot a 78. Also shooting a 78 is our tour director, Adam Cahill, but Kevin took it home in extra holes. Our A-flight winner was Matt Wilgocki, shot an 84. Awesome, awesome round out there in those conditions. I mean, the greens where you couldn't judge these greens with the speed of them. Some greens were just so much slower than others where water was pulling up. Just really tough out there. Our B-flight winner, my man, Gio Femia, threw out a cool 81 in those conditions, brother. Congratulations, man. I know I saw you at the turn or around like 10 or 11. You're like, I shot lights out on the front nine. Killed it, man. Congrats on that.
Thank you, sir.
Our C flight winner also went to a playoff hole after shooting a 92. I saw the kid putting his clubs in his car. And then he was taking him out, realizing that he had to go to an extra hole with Lamar. And I'm sure he's happy he took those clubs out because he took it home. His last name is Mariano. I was going to ask him when he came on how to pronounce his first name. Rob, do you know how to pronounce his name? Nice kid. I was talking to him in the lot.
No idea.
Okay, but last name Mariano. Congrats to our C-flight winner. Again, 92. Really good score out there in those conditions. And our D-flight winners, in horse race terms, must have had some mudders out there. Loved some wet conditions. They thrived out there in the rain because they came in hot. Three D-flight guys broke 90. My man Rob Lee shot lights out, posting an 86. He was in the clubhouse early while most of us were still out there struggling. Rob was sitting pretty. Nick Carr followed him with an 87, and my boy Johnny Resto shot an unbelievable round with an 88. I mean, those are some awesome scores. Kudos to everybody out there that won. I actually have 5 out of 6 of the winners with me today. What's up, boys? Kevin, Robert, Gio, and Matt. How you guys doing tonight?
Good, thanks, Nathan.
Let's start with the champ. Kevin, what was it like going to a playoff hole in those miserable, miserable conditions against our tour director, Adam? Did you have some pressure on you, or did you take him down with ease?
Honestly, I never played with Adam. I've never seen him play, but it really just comes down to match play. He wanted to step up to the tee first. He said he wanted to throw a tee, but he was already there. I said, take it. He put one out in the fairway. But you just need to really get out there, not go left, just get out there. But my next shot, I pumped a 3-wood out there straight at the pin, left me a short wedge in. We were both lying 3, but it just came down to putting. We went into a second playoff hole and stuck one 3.5 feet for birdie.
Beautiful, beautiful, man. That's awesome. Matt, you didn't have as much competition in there. You kind of rolled some of the other A-flight guys, struggled a little bit, as they should in those conditions, but you stuck it through. What did you think about the wet conditions out there? I mean, hanging in there.
Well, putting was definitely difficult. There's times where I had my wedge on the green, just chipping it at the flag stick. The standing water definitely made it difficult as well. I don't know. I feel like even if it wasn't so wet, that course would have played just as hard.
Yeah.
Because the back was so much tighter than the front.
The wet conditions definitely might have slowed some things down a little bit, but almost too much.
yeah, for sure.
You know. And then hitting out of – I was having a hard time hitting out of that rough. And I mean, it was some thick rough. And then in the wet conditions, just getting enough to get to the greens, I was having a hard time muscle through.
Yeah,
but Gio, how the hell did you come out? What did you shoot, +3 or +4 in the front nine or something?
Yeah, so I started on 10. I actually shot a 39 on the back nine and then went to the front and shot a 42. Honestly, man, I just was extremely aggressive when it came to putting. Like, I wasn't like everyone else where they're like, I'm going to chip from a little off the green. I was just like, I'm going to let the conditions allow me to kind of hammer it on my line. And I was dropping putts from everywhere.
Huge, huge on a day like yesterday, bro. Yeah. Yes. I just couldn't figure it out. I could not figure the putting out. I was smashing it past the hole 10, 15 feet, coming back. I was basic. I was on it. I was hitting the ball great, actually, to be honest, on in regulation most of the round, but the putting, I was really, really getting frustrated. Rob, you were telling me yesterday you kept the driver in the bag most of the round.
I used my driver twice.
Smart, dude. Kept you out of the woods.
Driving iron on every hole except the par threes. My goal, I was telling Adam this, so my goal was to not hit greens in regulation, but my goal was to scramble. So driving iron, maybe like a 9-iron to like 40 yards and then a 60 degree so I could check where the standing water was. And then I checked below and then I chipped below the standing water to have a better putt.
Yeah. Smart. You had to work around obstacles, man. And, did what it took. You did what it took. All right. I have to ask Matt. What do you think about those golf carts with no shields?
Oh, my God. Definitely not expecting that when I pulled up to the golf course, for sure. I mean, 95% of golf courses, I'm not even saying in New York State, they're going to have shields on the golf carts. And not having that on a day like yesterday just didn't help.
Dude, so. I was getting pelted in the eyeballs, like, the whole round driving. I was like, this is terrible, dude. It's such a beautiful, beautiful course, beautiful layout. You could tell they put so much money into it. I mean, I know how much masonry costs with all those rock walls around the greens and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't put an extra, what, $1,500 to put those shields? What would it really cost to put plastic shields on? Can't be a ton. Does anybody know that field of business? I mean,
no, not really.
Not that much money. But
I would have been more with the rain covers. Forget the shields. The rain covers is where it's at.
Both of them. I mean, listen, I think Adam did mention something to them. Adam's not afraid to say something. He said, you guys got to work on these cards. And then the best part is the claim forms we got to fill out to drive these cards. I'm like, and listen, I filled it out, no problem. I'm not that kind of guy that's going to cause problems. But I was talking to Mikey. I'm like, buddy, I'm like, if I'm going to steal a golf cart, I'm going to steal one of these sweet cushion ones with like GPS and it actually has plastic and actually has covers for my clubs. Like, these guys were acting like, oh, we're going to run off with their carts or something. I don't know. But
I think that was all about, like, if you damage them on the course. I'm not going to name names, but someone in our group almost went into – they lost control of the golf cart and almost went into the woods, into a pond.
There was one time when
It was Rob.
I didn't drive.
I was going back to pick up Mikey on – the par five over the big, he just made it over the hazard. So we were up looking for his ball and he was down like just over the hazard. So I came back to pick him up and I started losing it a little bit on that wet grass in the hill. And I did like a full 360 to him. Like, it's easy to be done in those wet conditions. But I mean, we're all grown ups. We can handle a car. We didn't need to sign a claim for him, but whatever. I'm not going to complain too much. Go ahead, Rob.
Do you know does anyone know the guys that left?
I think, did Brian Knuth leave?
I don't know. We were on a whole.
I thought two people left. I think two people left.
Two dudes were just like, yeah, see you later. Fuck this.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel them. I'm not going to lie. I was right in it. I mean, I was only in. I was like five back at the turn. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was just so cold. Gio, it was Cape Cod all over again, I feel like. I know you said it was a little worse at the Cape or a little worse here, but.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit colder here than it was in the Cape. But I think I was on the first hole as you were going down 18. And I thought for sure you were pretty close to just saying F it and walking off.
Dude, every part of my body was just soaked, and that was after changing, I think, and that was after I went through all my towels. I came prepared. I came with towels ready to, you know, wipe the seats down, but you could only suck so much water up.
I bought an extra raincoat there.
Who had the cover for the golf cart? That was genius. Somebody must have known about those carts.
It was Koch, right? It was Travis.
Was that who it was, Travis?
Yeah.
Travis and Don.
Genius.
Yo, I got to get going, but it was good seeing you guys. And,
Robert, thanks for hopping on, brother.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, same here, and I got
it. All right, Gio, thanks for coming on short notice.
All right, thanks, brother.
All right, boys, see you next week.
Later.
So, Kevin, you played with Adam the whole round, right?
No, I played with Adam just the playoff holes.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to, so you never played with Adam either before that. Yeah, he's a... I'll tell you what, man, he's got a great, I mean, he crushes the ball. He smokes on the drive, but the kid like nails putts from like 10 feet. We played last week at, where did we play? I played with him at Freer Park, which is like really, really tough rolling greens. And the kid had like five birdies on the back nine. It was ridiculous. I was getting so mad. Just seeing how good, you know, this kid putts and I can't hit a three footer. I mean, that's why I'm in D flight, but it is what it is.
When we got done, he gave me a little one of his putting secrets because my putting's been struggling as of late. So I got one of his secrets in the bag.
Is he trying to get you to go to claw grip now? Or
he is. I was using it before, but I think I was utilizing it the wrong way. He went about it a different way, and I think it might help me. So
I'll tell you what, he's got some great tips. He really does. Matt, what putt and grip do you use?
I just kind of put like a pointer finger down, and that's about it.
Traditional, basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Just and really, you hit a really square. Yeah, I have a really hard time hitting a square. I went from the left hand. I tried the left hand low last year. I was a little better than the traditional. And then I started, Adam tried getting me on the claw grip, and I just couldn't figure it out. I just didn't feel comfortable. I understood where it was coming from, hitting it square. It just didn't feel right. But I just picked up one of like the long putters, not a belly putter, but I separate my grip, not a claw grip, but I actually just hold it regular grip, but separate them. And man, yeah. I'm hitting it as square as can be. I'm hitting those four footers now with confidence, back of the cup. So I just got that club last week, so I'm hoping that makes a difference for me. It's just funny putting, man. Everybody's got a different grip.
Yeah, definitely with putting, confidence is key. Confidence is key when you're on the green, but days like yesterday, you don't really have much confidence out there.
No. Yesterday, putting didn't matter, man. Oh, there he is. Sweet.
Hey, what's
good? We got our Sea Flight winner hopped in. What's up, brother?
Nothing much. Just walking 9 right now, playing terrible golf.
That's all right. You won your trophy yesterday. That's all that matters.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
So I said in the little intro, I said I saw you were getting your carts, your clubs in your car, and you're ready to go home, ready to go to a nice warm house, and you had to go back out there for a playoff hole. How did that feel?
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, Matt was the one that told me not to leave. I was about ready to dip. It was cold. I just wanted to sit in the heater, and I didn't even put my socks back on for the playoff hole. I was just trying to wrap it up.
Yeah, man.
It was fun. It was exciting.
I mean, that's awesome. I bet you're glad you ended up muscling it out and going out there and winning it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was well worth it. Well worth the cold. And, you know, the event was still awesome. I mean, the guys that played it was fun.
I think Adam, actually, this is a good time to say, Adam was talking about maybe trying to have them host us again in September, because everybody's saying they do want to play that course on a nice day. I mean, it's a beautiful track. Hopefully we don't have to deal with rain in those carts, so that's not an obstacle. And I really, 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 really do want to get out there, and whether it's with a tour or just this summer. Has anybody played that course on a nice regular day with the planes flying? And
I played in a league, and we played it, I think it was on our schedule, at least 3 times each year, the last 2 years. So it's such a fun place to putt when those greens are dry.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the par 5 with the sharp dog leg. I mean, I had to play it in 3 shots over the water. That green was really cool, because if you came up short on that, you're like, it was like kind of had the false front. The ball wouldn't have rolled back to the water false front, but it was just a really weird, funny looking green. A lot of those greens were just really, really, really undulating. They were tough to read because of the water, but I would see them being really, really tough, prime midsummer, fast, firm, you know. I definitely. How about the planes? Do you see a lot of planes out there? Like, I mean, they were obviously flying yesterday.
They parachute down and they land on the course right there.
Do they really?
Oh, I played the second hole several times. And I've seen parachuters just fall and then do their run after they fall.
That's amazing. That's awesome, really, man. I mean, we were out there yesterday. I'm like, they're not flying today. There's no doubt they're not going to be out there today. But I kind of was hoping to see one of those guys. That's awesome. But all right. I mean, I kind of want to wrap things up. I know Mariano, how do you pronounce your first name? I shouted out your last name. I was going to ask. I asked everybody how to pronounce.
Yeah, it's Majdi.
Majdi. All right, Majdi. Yeah. Awesome. I'll jot that down. I know you want to get back to your round. I appreciate you hopping on and just saying what's up. I appreciate Kevin and Matt taking the time and just giving their opinion on the course and just a little breakdown of their rounds. It was definitely wet, but it was fun. I guess I would do it again. I don't know. I say never again, but I'm a champ. But thank you guys for hopping on, and I appreciate everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Upstate Golf Guys podcast.
Itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home. So why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He's got his AirPods.